Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back for another episode of the M Squared TechCast. Is it 105 now? 106? 107.
107.
Okay. Reminds me of an old radio station up north. 107, yeah. KHQ.
So. There you go. KY, what was that one, that show on the 80s? KYB?
WKRP.
WKRP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That should be our call letters, you think?
Yeah. Okay. Why not?
Why not?
Nobody else is using them.
No.
I bet. Well, anyway, we've got a great show for you today. We've got some good guests, some in studio, some calling in. We're going to start.
We hope.
The calling in part's always an adventure.
That's live radio.
Adventures in live radio.
Yep.
But we're going to start off the show today with a longtime friend of the show, Timber Shea from Inforum, and specifically its Engage program, which I described on my little tech news blog today in promoting the show as a training and mentoring program for second stage women entrepreneurs. What do you think?
That's a great explanation.
So
okay.
You got us trained. Perfect. We're trained now.
So. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, and you're going to talk basically about, it's not what I did on summer vacation, but it's what I did this year.
Yes.
And it's been a great year for Engage. Why don't you tell us about it a little bit?
It's been a terrific year. Thanks again, guys, for having me. This is my favorite Monday of the month.
Uh-huh.
So you all know Inforum. We're a professional organization that focuses on helping women accelerate their careers and companies balance, accelerate their talent initiatives and diversify. Within the organization, I run the Engage program, which, yes, we work with emerging second stage women entrepreneurs. We try and help them get to the point where they have $1 million in revenue when they complete the program or are ready to accept a venture or angel capital, which can be quite a feat. So it takes a lot of practice on that. Another part of the Engage program is what we call our Role Model and Investor Series. So in that part of the program, we help elevate the stories of these female entrepreneurs. So we really want everyone to know what they're doing, which is why you guys are so great for us, because you really help us with the elevating and celebrating their stories on the radio every month.
And do people listen? That's the question. We never know, right? we know we send it out, but beyond that...
They do. They do listen, and all of our entrepreneurs are thrilled to then, you provide us with this great link to the podcast later, and they put it on their websites and in their social media, so the reach is really going up.
Yeah, that's good.
So you got any kind of cumulative totals here for the year?
Oh, yeah. I love hearing these numbers. I always do.
I'm looking at three or four sheets of paper there, so I think you do, right?
It's been a great year and lots of success from our women entrepreneurs this year. So we started this program in 2012, and we've had 89 women entrepreneurs go through the program. They've created 38 brand new companies in addition to the companies they've already had formed. 304 new jobs have been created in Southeast Michigan, 35 brand new patents, and these women have gone on to raise $41.3 million in follow-on funding and $9 million in government contracts.
Well, then you get a percentage of this, right?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? That'd be great.
So when you donate to Inforum, this is part of what you're getting, right? That's the deal.
A little. What do they call it in Asian? Well, I think it's called a kickback.
But, yeah, backsheesh.
Backsheesh. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we try not to do that. But another great thing this year has been a lot of them have actually received venture and angel capital.
Uh-huh.
So it's been wonderful. They all start out bootstrapping their companies. No one comes into this with a big pot of money, helping them get to the next level. So we're really pleased to be able to make those connections.
Well, $1 million in sales. Well, that's pretty darn good. Typically, most angel investors are looking at, we're thinking of commercializing and, we need 200K from you guys to make this happen. But if you get $1 million of revenue, that's pretty good.
It puts you on a different playing field and able to negotiate a little bit better.
Yeah. And usually those investors aren't interested in investing in lifestyle businesses either. They are looking for companies that are going to get bigger and they want an exit.
Exactly.
So
that's the thing that these entrepreneurs have to be aware of. They're not in there to hold your – well, they are to hold your hand. But at some
while
point –
while you're together.
But at some point – they want their dough back times 5 or 10, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they do. Absolutely, they do. Or be able to, spin it off to someone else.
Same thing. Exit, whether it's a sale or nobody, few do IPOs. Some do, but it's not a Very happy. Doesn't happen very much. You know?
So. Well, they're wicked expensive. I can tell you that. Some people. Well, the people at Altair Engineering can tell you about that. Well, whoops, they can't now because they're in another quiet period because of earnings. But
well, we got to wait for them to get their. We got to get their red herring. That will tell everything.
Yep. So yeah, as one business person who took his company public once said to me in an offhand comment, if you love undressing in public, you'll love going through an IPO.
So. Oh yeah, the SEC's murder.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. So. Another great thing that I wanted to share with you guys is this year, so many entrepreneurs have been applying for, getting in, and winning the pitch competitions.
Really?
So Accelerate Michigan had the largest number of women, female founders, actually make it into the finals. Five of them were Engage entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's
one
great.
Of them won the People's Choice Award for $25,000. Mm-hmm. Our friend Christina York at Spellbound.
Yeah,
sure. Got her augmented reality technology.
Yeah,
so she did really well. Revolution, Rise of the Rest, Steve Case and J.D. Vance were in Ann Arbor a few months back.
Yep.
And one of the entrepreneurs who's looking at actually coming to the program in January won the $100,000 there.
Wow, yeah.
Another great female founder out of U of M.
What was the name of the company?
Sahi Cosmetics.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's doing some good stuff.
I found that kind of unusual. I knew it was a tech competition. So when I read that, I thought, I can't be reading this right. But
there's a lot of money in cosmetic technology.
Is there?
A lot.
No good.
L'Oreal is huge.
And a lot of it's increasingly high tech now too. I mean, you got very demanding consumers that want to make sure that the stuff they're buying is sustainably sourced, and it's gone way beyond this product.
Is that the case, Jessica? Our engineer Jessica, is that the case? Are you sustainably sourced cosmetics and all that?
Yeah.
Somehow sure, I don't get the sincerity there. I'm not feeling it,
Well, and sure, her specialty is women with olive colored skin.
Okay.
So, she's got a very specialty niche market. And mm-hmm.
Will that be like Italian, Spanish kind of?
Mediterranean.
Yeah, okay. Everything from Spain to the Middle East, I would think,
mm-hmm,
right? That would take that in. Yep.
Yeah, so very specialized, but she's doing really well.
That wouldn't be the girl from Omaha, then. You don't have olive-colored skin.
No,
so.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. We've also got Dolphin Tank. We had a winner in Jackson and a runner-up in Detroit.
Wow.
So they did that in a few different markets. That was great. 5x5 night with Start Garden in Grand Rapids just a couple weeks ago. Julie Hyde Edwards, who's going to be on with us soon. She's almost ready to have her product launch, but it's a med tech device that actually helps healing and recovery for women who've had double mastectomies.
Oof.
She's got a patent on it, and she's working at getting some clinical trials, which is great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's ready soon. I tried to get her to come
early. And it's really diverse. It's not really one thing at all. It's all over the board.
It is.
Yeah, and those pitch competitions around here are increasingly throwing around some big money. I mean, Accelerate Michigan's got $500,000.
Yeah,
well, yeah, they got $1 million in total prizes. So that's they're not kidding.
Well,
around.
That first prize alone.
Yeah.
I mean, is that tax free? I'm not sure how that plays out.
I'm betting not. But,
wouldn't that be nice?
It does come from a nonprofit, but you are trying to make a profit, so I'm betting it's
Well, then they hit you hard on the taxes.
Yeah. But, I mean, typically startups can take a check like that and just, squeeze it till it squeaks, basically. They can make it go a long way.
Well, even for-profits like mine can make a check go a long way.
Yeah, but it's just been so great to see them, go out and get all this money that where they're not tied to, metrics or things for investors. They can spend it as they see fit.
Yeah, that's the tough part, too, with the investors is – they're always looking over your shoulder. They're looking at the financial stuff.
You got to hit those metrics.
Trouble happens, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So that's been really, really fun to see this year. So many of our entrepreneurs have been doing amazing things, like Katie Bigelow this year, who got the $9 million contract from the Department of Defense for her soldier sustainability.
The Army stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Survivability technology, which is amazing.
She's working with TACOM, I believe.
She is, and the Department of Defense.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so she got the whole big thing. One really amazing thing, you guys, we saw Sasa Akkarwal from Akkarwal Technologies.
Sure, Sisu. Yeah.
We just had her on. We just had her on the show.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. SBDC brought her on the show. She didn't mention that she'd been on the show before, but hey, little publicity.
Right.
Yeah.
So she had just been at it, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, the national finals in Palm Desert.
Right.
This week, she is competing globally with 30 companies in Endeavor Detroit's competition in Miami. So we're hoping the best for her. One of 30 companies globally.
Mouth guards. Who would have thunk it, huh?
I know, really? They're just amazing. So she's doing great things. Let's see. Who else is doing great things? Of course, our friend Amanda Lawan has added a whole new floor to her co-working space.
Hardest working millennial I know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hardest working woman in showbiz.
Yes.
And looking for space and looking to, you know, add things to her portfolio of what she can do next. You
just,
know what?
Just bought a nice house in the Boston Edison district.
Did. She is a Detroiter, heart and soul.
We're not supposed to mention her boyfriend. That we always get yelled at when we mention him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But let's just say he's involved in the fiber industry. That's all we can say.
Okay.
You know, so.
And we're not talking, you know, brand. So,
no.
Yeah, okay.
Right. He's not a Kellogg cereal entrepreneur.
No.
And I want you guys to keep an eye out because Social Sushi is opening on Livernois in the spring.
Oh,
yeah. We've had her on too, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's cool.
It's been a really fun year, hasn't it, guys, with all the entrepreneurs?
You bring a variety, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're doing amazing things. Things that we would never think of, right?
That's kind of the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they're successful
Otherwise,
entrepreneurs.
It's hard to produce these shows and make them different all the time. So that's one of the advantages of having folks like you on, because you all come from different points of view, makes my life a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
So we're looking forward to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I already have 11 entrepreneurs signed up for the cohort to start in January. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, when does the next cohort start? It's January. How long does that last?
Second week in January, it'll go 8 months, so one Saturday a month till the end of August.
Okay.
And we actually normally do 10 to 12 entrepreneurs in there. We've actually decided that there's such a demand, we're going to extend a little bit of the application time through the holidays. And if there are a few more entrepreneurs out there who want to get their apps in, we'd be happy to talk to you and see if we can do that.
Okay. And golly, how might they do that if I were
That's why I'm ringing the bell there. You can do the shameless plug now.
Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You just go to the website, inforummichigan.org. It's inforum, I-N-F-O-R-U-M, and then Michigan spelled out, .org. And we have a spot on there called Learn and Lead. Under Learn and Lead, you'll find Engage, and there's the application, all the information, and my contact information, so I'm happy to help.
Well, there is a cost, but there also are scholarships, right?
Yeah, there is a cost. The course itself is $1,500. We have the most amazing partners and funders, the New Economy Initiative, who is a huge supporter of us in this effort, and then we have some others also, but they're
it's
amazing.
Maria Lalonde.
Maria Lalonde and Pam Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah. Great team over there that help us quite a bit.
We got about a minute left. Let's look forward to 2018. I know, obviously, you just talked about the cohort, but beyond that, what else are you guys doing that you can sum up quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have, again, quarterly role model and investor series. So look for those to look at talking to other entrepreneurs who've made it and how to get there. And we'll kind of demystify the investment angel investment community for people so they can get involved personally.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. So thanks, Tim Berchet from Inforum Michigan's Engage program. That's inforummichigan.org.
Org.
Yes.
Org.
Okay.
Org.
All right.
Arg.
Arg. No, that would be the pirate version.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Thank
All right.
you, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're on the podcast, Detroit.com Network, with us.
Okay. Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're on the M Squared TechCast at the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Yes. And we have on the phone calling in from downtown Detroit, Glenn Stevens, who runs the Mish Auto Program, which is a function of the Detroit Regional Chamber. Let's start off with that, Glenn, because this may be the first time that folks have ever heard of that. What do you guys do with Mish Auto?
Sure. Thanks for having me on today, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So Mish Auto was formed actually 10 years ago as a grassroots organization to promote and retain and grow Michigan's signature industry, our automotive industry. It was taken under the wing of the Detroit Regional Chamber about 5 years ago and relaunched. So Mish Auto is both a statewide association and also part of the Detroit Regional Chamber's economic development portfolio. And really, we work with every stakeholder of the industry in Michigan to really advocate and promote the key issues for our industry. Chief and top of that list is the talent pipeline. But we're working with about 120 different companies who invest in the work we do and everyone around the industry to do those things.
Great. Now, I know you just came out with a couple of reports last week because I got a sneak peek before they were announced on Wednesday. One of those was for looking at the fact that there are a whole lot more auto R&D facilities or related to auto R&D in the state than what had previously been reported, almost like 10 times more, right?
Well, we had been using a number, and when I say we, those of us in the industry and the economic development community and leaders, we had been using a number of about 375 R&D centers. Now, that was a good number, but kind of a dated number. And what we'd wanted to do is to make sure you really can tout your industry and promote your industry if you understand exactly what the assets are of your industry. And we feel that this is the global epicenter for automotive. And so what we decided to do is let's take an accurate, reflective look at how many research, design, engineering, and testing facilities there are in Michigan. And there are actually over 2,200 and growing. But we have a benchmark number of 2,200 facilities in Michigan that do that type of work.
Wow. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just curious. Did you come up with an employment number to go with the number of establishments also?
You know, we do. I don't have that number off in front of me. But what we did is we took a pretty robust database of over 5,000 individual company and facility locations, and we actually researched every single one of those.
Wow.
So we were either on their websites, we were either calling them directly, we were using different types of reporting mechanism in the economic development community. And we did not include companies that, for example, if it was a straight manufacturing company, that's not what we were looking at. We were looking at facilities, whether they be a 20-person facility in Grand Haven or the General Motors Tech Center in Warren. Those are specific facilities that are doing research, design, and engineering.
And, of course, you got the gigantic Toyota R&D facility south of Ann Arbor. I think there's thousands of folks there, right?
Oh, well, when you add up these 2,200 facilities and you look at the macro numbers in Michigan, so we know we have close to 100,000 engineers in Michigan. So if you can think about where those 100,000 engineers in electrical, mechanical, industrial design work, it makes sense that they would work across those 2,200 different facilities. And yes, you touched on Toyota. There are also, in addition to Toyota, there's 15 other OEMs with either their global headquarters or a major research and technical center here. So everybody knows about GM and Ford and FCA, but a lot of people don't realize how big Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, VW, on and on and on, and even Chinese OEMs, 16 different OEMs with operations here in Michigan.
And then there's all the big suppliers too, right? They all have technical centers here.
Well, they sure do. So 96 of the top 100 suppliers to the North American market either have their global headquarters in Michigan or their North American headquarters. And almost every single one of those has at least one research, engineering, or testing facility. Look at a company like Continental Automotive, German company, but North American headquarters here. Huge presence in Southeast Michigan, but they have a testing and research facility in Brimley, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. That's one of the 2,200.
Which I imagine right now is very, very cold.
They have it in Brimley, Michigan.
That's yes. Right. That would be their snow and four-wheel drive testing center. Right. Yes, right.
Well, even Google has their driverless car facility they're developing in the Novi, I believe, isn't it?
Google would be one also. I mean, you can go across the state, whether it's all the way up in the Keweenaw Peninsula or Grand Rapids or Muskegon or Detroit or Ann Arbor. You go across that state and you see we have OEMs, we have assembly plants, we have supplier headquarters, We have a tool and die facility, and we have 2,200 individual facilities that do research, testing, engineering, design, or validation.
Yeah, I know my employer, Lawrence Tech, ring the bell, does a fair amount of research for some of these places on a specific project basis. And I know the same is true at the other universities in Michigan. I know.
And those are part of that count, Matt. Yeah. That's a great point, because we talk a lot about our OEMs and suppliers, but the research community and the university and community college, testing and validation and research environment is absolutely a critical part of what goes on here. And in a place like, there is nothing like this in the world when you look at that density of R&D and advanced manufacturing.
Well, and you've got M-City at the University of Michigan. You've got the Keweenaw Research Center at Michigan Tech for cold weather testing of a whole bunch of products.
And the American Center for Mobility at Willow Run that's coming online next year.
Yeah.
And a new one that you gentlemen may know of. But, they're also in the process of finishing up the Kettering University Mobility Research Center that's been, partially funded by General Motors. So there's another new one that's going to open. And they just, this density makes up this 2,200, and we must make sure that, whether that's the governor or economic developers or even industry professionals, executives, that they're touting the fact that when you look at these 2,200 plus facilities and growing, you will not find anything like this in the world anywhere.
Yep.
Now, the downside is the second report where you looked at the fact that in-state there's a certain amount of awareness, in fact, a high amount of awareness of the innovation going on here. Unfortunately, out-state, not so much.
It hasn't spread beyond our borders exactly, right?
Yeah. So but you were talking about that, and you've got some it's a situation that you're going to try to rectify with some promotional stuff, right?
Right. So in 2014, we did kind of a benchmark survey. We wanted to take a look at what do youth and influencers, meaning parents, teachers, and counselors and people who influence youth, what do they look at the industry as a career opportunity? Do they look at the industry as one that's high on their career choice? How do they view the industry? What's their perception? So we did that survey in 2014, and it wasn't bad, but it wasn't overwhelmingly positive either about the perception of the industry. So we said we have some work to do. So over the last couple of years, collectively and all different fronts, we've been working to change that perception. We updated that survey work and released it last week. And the good news is that we have significantly moved the needle with regards to the perception of youth and influencers, whether they believe that the industry is high tech, global, and growth and has opportunity. That's in-state, because we interviewed 500 students and influencers in the state and 400 outside the state. The perception of the industry and the perception of Michigan is not high for those people outside of our borders. And that really that's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for us to address that, because when we look at this talent pipeline and those 2,200 facilities that I talked about and all those OEMs and advanced manufacturing facilities, the only way that those companies can grow and thrive is if there's a consistent talent pipeline for them. So changing perceptions and continuing to build perceptions both in the state and outside the state is what will enable us to have the type of growth and to feed these companies the talent they need.
And you're creating a publication in conjunction with Ann Arbor Spark and a few other players, right?
Yeah. And so one of the things that, when you want to create a narrative and drive a story and make sure you're getting the message to people, we need to tell it properly. So the Southeast Michigan community, Ann Arbor Spark, Macomb County, Oakland County, City of Detroit, and ourselves and some other partners, we have banded together to create a new web platform and portal called Driven. And that will be launched in the next couple of weeks. And that is really to create the story and the narrative, to curate the work that's already been published, but also to create new content to tell the story, the fact that you won't find a density of technology development anywhere in the world in connected and automated vehicle technology like you will in Southeast Michigan. And that's what Driven is going to do.
How's it going to do that? What are some strategies in that initiative?
So when you hit the website, and you can go to DetroitDriven.org to sign up for the newsletter. There's a newsletter content, there's a web portal, there'll be a continuous news feed. So we're going to create the stories that are created. So when when the New York Times puts a front page cover on that touts Ann Arbor as a connected vehicle center for the world, we want to make sure that there's an easy place for that story to be found and curated. But we're also going to create new stories about, you know, the work that's being done by individual companies, or where ACM is on their launch, or where Kettering is, or what new developments. So we're going to be curating and creating new content on that portal.
Okay. The one figure from that study that I was just astounded by is that only 2% of youths outside of Michigan believe that Michigan is leading the way in autonomous vehicle testing. I just found that unbelievable, considering all of the all of the stuff. But I guess
I think you caught a good one. What was that, Matt? I'm sorry.
I mean, I guess stuff like ACM and M City hasn't got much publicity outside of the state. That's the only thing I can understand. But you know, you would think it would have shown up on social media and that kind of thing for anyone interested in this field, no matter where they were.
Well, that's another interesting. So one of the things we looked at is, where do youth, particularly youth, but also influencers, where do they get their news? And so, as you know, we live in a hyper social media age. And so a lot of the content and a lot of the information that they're picking up is through their social media channels, whether it be visual on Instagram or, you know, every day on Snapchat. But these are the types of platforms we have to use if we're going to connect with youth about the opportunities in the industry and change perceptions. So you can't do that unless you have a proactive strategy to go out and, you know, curate that information and get to them. And frankly, I think we've done a good job in the state. And this is a credit to our schools and the cooperative partnerships they have with companies around the state. But we need to do more of that side outside the state if we're going to attract the talent to the state, which we want to do.
And retain as well. I mean,
right.
We crank out, 6,000 or 7,000 engineers a year from the colleges, but a lot of them just don't stick around.
No, you're exactly right, Mike. And it's develop your own army of young smart minds, and it's attract others. But it's very, very important to retain the ones that, you know, youth that grow up here, youth that like to live here and work here. We need to make sure that they know that there's incredible opportunity in this automotive and mobility industry, and that you can have an excellent career, you can see the world, and you can have a growth trajectory with companies here in Michigan. And that's really key for us to attract and retain.
Plus, it's affordable. And we all know the California and the East Coast horror stories about $1 million, you know, two bedroom flats.
Yeah,
like
$5,000 a month rent for a one bedroom in San Francisco. Yeah, right.
No, we have you're right. You're right on. We have an affordable place to live with an incredible, incredible quality of life, with 3,000 miles of freshwater coastline and 11,000 lakes. And you know what? That's a pretty neat place to live. And work and play, but we have to continue to project the image of that as well as the opportunity that goes with the careers in it.
One other thing that I saw in the survey that I thought was interesting was what replaced what the number four word associated with the auto industry was this time versus last time. I thought that was kind of cool, because last time it was dead and dying, and this time it was, Glenn?
Innovation.
That's right.
Innovative.
So yeah,
it's a significant change, and I don't think all of that is shocking, given that 4 years ago almost we were coming off. We still had some scars from the downturn. We had some serious recall situations in the industry. But you look at these companies now, and let's just take General Motors or Ford, they are really innovative companies that are transforming themselves. And I think they're doing a good job of projecting what they're trying to do. So I do think that the industry and the car is the most high-tech consumer product on the face of the earth. So for youth and influencers now to look at it and say, you know what, that is innovative, that means we're making progress.
All right, Glenn, thanks a lot. We're going to have to leave it there. If people want to get in touch with Mish Auto, how do they do that?
Well, mishauto.org is the best way to do it, and you can reach us and all of our contact information there, the studies, the digital information, it's all there, and we're happy to do that and happy to help people however way we can. I sure appreciate your time today, guys.
All right, yours too. Thanks a lot, Glenn Stevens from Mish Auto, and we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're all on the podcast, Detroit.com network.
Amen.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Mike Brennan, and Matt has just stepped out. He'll be stepping back in here. He's stepping in now as we speak. Yes, okay. Come on in. And we have on the phone calling in, I think from Virginia, right? Rick Beckers?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
He was supposed to be on the shoe today, but got called away for an emergency triage for some sort of security thing, right?
You mean he's actually got a day job that he doesn't just appear on this show?
Normally he just drinks coffee and hangs around a lot, you know, so.
You know me. Yep. I work in my slippers.
Yep. So anyway, we have some exciting news to announce. Rick is my co-producer of the IoT Tech Kinetic. I can do it. IoT Tech Connect. Say that fast three times. In April. And we signed up the MEDC's Planet M as our title sponsor. What does that mean for us, Rick?
Well, it means a huge amount of exposure and, some really classy people are a part of the show, pushing the advertising and getting involved at levels what we think is all the way to the top. And you know, I'll let you expand on that if you can, but they are coming in and setting us up so that we are going to have a huge win in terms of being able to show the world what Michigan's going to be able to do with IoT here. And, you know, as you were saying, it's April 4th. It's going to be at the Troy Marriott and the conference center. We've got the whole thing rented out for the entire day. That night, we're going to have a VIP networking reception where everybody can rub shoulders with the who's who and IoT, STEM, and you know, all sorts of different categories and tracks and things that we've got going on during the show.
And the point being, it's a Michigan show. We should probably give them the backstory on this. Rick goes to a lot of these big shows in Vegas, Chicago, L.A., but they're international shows. There are gazillion, you know, people there. What's going on around the world? So him and I went to a show in Chicago last March, and we're driving back, and I go, boy, that really stunk. I think we could do a whole lot better than that. I guess I should have kept my mouth shut, because then we decided we were going to go ahead and do that. So here we are in April after one false start where we thought we could get up and running and get it out in October and discovered, whoa, Nelly, it's not going
to
work.
Something like this takes a year to plan. It really does.
But it gave us a lot of feedback from people who said, no, you shouldn't do this, you should do that, blah, blah, blah. And so we pivoted, and now we've got it all set up for April, and we've got a lot of cool groups that are going to be working with us to get the word out. Those include Automation Alley. Those include the Tech 248 group out of Oakland County. Those include I'm sitting next to Tim Boucher from Inforum, and I think she's interested. She's nodding her head now, so that's a good sign. So we're going to do some stuff with women tech entrepreneurs and whatnot. We also have MTAM, that's the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. Linda Dishon is going to be helping us develop four or five tracks because that's really her baby out there, IoT. So lots of good stuff. Michigan Science Center is going to help us develop a workshop for high school kids where they can develop digital music. I mean, kids are all into music these days, right? And so we're working on Matt's employer.
I can't announce anything yet.
You know, so we're working on Matt's employer because I know they like techie high school kids, right, Matt?
That's their favorite kind. Yep,
well,
absolutely.
Tell us who people may not know. I know who your employer is.
Oh, well, it's Lawrence Technological University in Southfield. So,
yes. A fine institution.
Indeed. Yes.
So lots of good stuff going on. And then, you know, vendors, booze, you know, we're going to have breakfast and lunch and And as Rick mentioned, the VIP reception in the evening where everybody can rub shoulders and get a chance to talk to all the speakers and whatnot. So, and it's great that the MEDC has come in. I leaned on them hard, done a lot of favors over the years. So the Godfather called in the favors. And one of the big favors I'm working on is getting Governor Snyder to be our keynote. Now, that's not a confirmed thing, you know, I just talked to them again this morning and emphasized how much we wanted him there. So I remain optimistic.
Okay. Well, you know, 2018 is also an election year. So
yeah, that's his last year. His last year in office.
Oh, you might maybe get a gubernatorial candidate or two that wants to talk to the tech community. That would be fun.
Well, as long as they want to talk to the tech community and not talk politics, because we know what we think of politicians, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. So... nice guys. But,
so what kind of things, I mean, what are the tracks going to be? Can you tell me what some of them are?
Sure. Well, let me give you an idea. I mean, we're obviously going to go after autonomous vehicles because that's where we live, in Motor City. But connected tech and anything wireless, virtualization, simulation, and modeling is heavy in the automotive industry and others. Virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence. Cybersecurity is obviously threaded throughout all of these things whenever we're connected to something. We'll have some people there that are involved in the consumer IoT world. And all of the traveling that I do for IoT when I speak at the other conferences around the country puts me in place with a lot of the vendors. And we're reaching out to all of those to try to bring in the Michigan presence of those vendors as it relates to sensors and some of the edge connector devices that are necessary to gather the data, the connectivity piece in the middle, whether it's wireless or satellite or wired, and then the business intelligence and the analytics that are necessary to take all the data that's collected in an IoT project and then turn it into something that businesses can use. And so there's a lot of vendors and a lot of knowledge that'll be brought about and spoken of during all of our breakout sessions. We are going to have breakout sessions on each of these that'll consist of 3-hour blocks with three sessions of 50 minutes each with 10-minute breaks in between. And your speakers are going to be the best of the best on each of these topics. So it's really, really exciting.
Yeah. And we're hoping that by bringing the MEDC in, that would also bring in the M-City folks, because MEDC supports M-City at the University of Michigan, which is the small incubator. And then the big incubator for autonomous vehicles will be Willow Run, coming online sometime next year.
Actually, it opened It opened today.
I didn't realize it
had its. Well, they kind of had a soft opening.
Okay.
Because I'm doing a story right now for the Lawrence Tech Alumni Magazine on the vice president of construction. There is a civil engineering alum from LTU.
I didn't think they had all that done already.
Well, they've got part of it done. Enough of it done to open part of the test track. The building, the control center, is in a temporary construction trailer right now, but they've got computers in there and they can run the thing from, you know, anywhere. So a temporary construction trailer, you know, does it just fine. They wanted to get the test track part of it done first before they started worrying about buildings. So, you know, the test track will get done into next spring, and then they'll start thinking about what kind of buildings they want to put up there. They've got like a temporary garage type building where people can rent spaces for their companies. And then they've got another building for storage. They're tearing down a lot of the old GM hydromatic division plants buildings from when there was the transmission plant there. So,
yeah, I think they're keeping one part of the old hangar, because I know the Yankee Air Museum.
Yeah, part of it's historic.
Yeah,
right.
Yankee Air Museum is going to be moving in there. I'm a member of that group. So, so that'd be good.
The World War II part of it, they're keeping as much as they can. Right. And then the 1950s and 60s GM part of it, it's terribly
not
inspired architecture.
Thing, right? Yeah.
So, yeah, they're tearing a lot of that down.
For those that aren't history buffs, during World War II, Ford built something like 8,000 B-24 bombers out there at Willow Run.
Yes.
And they were so efficient, they were cranking them out one an hour. Now, that's manufacturing down to a science.
Yes. And they had one essentially intercontinental bomber an hour. That's pretty impressive.
In the old days. So, yes, we digress. But anyway, we're going to hopefully have all those folks. Certainly cybersecurity. I have a lot of friends in that area, and I'm a big believer in just because you can connect it, don't do it unless you make sure it's secure. So that's a really important point. Even with modern vehicles today, you know, these engineers want to connect everything and it's all wide open and the passwords are admin and the 1234, you know, the bad guys know that too, right? So we need to fix all those things. Otherwise, we'll have Christine out there on the road, right? So old Stephen King.
Yeah, exactly.
So
let's give everybody a little bit of information about how they can register and you know, Mike and I
put out a call
for proposals.
Yeah, go ahead. You take that.
Sure. So at the website, iottechconnect.com, you know, you can click on call for proposals. And basically, we're looking for anybody who is involved in IoT in any way, shape, or form in Michigan. And that might be somebody who has a great idea and is looking to be a startup and might be looking for investment capital or advice from any of these other people that we're going to have involved. It might be somebody who's working in a larger manufacturing company that's their champion for IoT. It could be a vendor, speaker, or pre-sales person who has an extensive knowledge in something. I mean, we're taking all types of proposals with the hopes of bringing, of course, the most compelling and interesting information to the people at the show. You can register for the show on the site. There's a full brochure for both the vendors and the attendees out on the site that gives all the details. Full information there at iottechconnect.com. If you want to talk to somebody in person and elaborate on some of your stuff, you can dial us up at 855-6-CLOUD-1 and we'll have a chat anytime. Or our contact information for all of the four producers of the show is on the website, myself, Mike personally, Jennifer, and Bob. And you can call any one of us. Primarily, it would be myself and Mike. But call us and pick our brains. Let's get something going on and show the world how great we are with IoT and why Michigan is the best place for it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And everyone knows that I'm pretty much a cheerleader for Michigan technology. You know, I get a lot of folks on the show to emphasize what we're doing as a good thing. And so I think this event is the first time we've done an event. And as I mentioned to Timber, oh my God, it's been a lot more complicated than I thought, but it's been a learning experience, but this will be good. And it'll be a chance for a lot of the folks that you hear or read about in my publication. I'm leaning on all of them to participate in some way. So you get a chance to put a face with the voice or what they've written or whatever and get them involved in the show. And again, the focus is on what we're doing really well in Michigan in the Internet of Things, and that's products, services, you name it. Right, Matt?
Absolutely.
Somebody turned your mic off.
That's all right. So sponsorships are still available. There's a proposal for presentations if you'd like to get in front of the industry and make a presentation,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, that's all available on the website.
Yeah. So.
And you're hoping
there's also a lot of, as you say, if you're just an IoT advocate or interested in the topic, there's a lot of blog information, invaluable blog information out there about topics from all sorts of sources. So it's really a central point for you to go for IoT information in general and, of course, the show and so on.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. So one more time, Rick, why don't you give that address, phone number, so if people are interested, they can connect with us.
Sure enough, it's IoT Tech Connect, the region's largest IoT show for Michigan and how Michigan is exploiting IoT and winning with it. The website is iottechconnect.com, and you can call us at 855-6-CLOUD-1. It's April 4th of 2018. All the best of the best are going to be there. Get involved.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Rick Beckers from CloudTech One and IoT Tech Connect. Once again, that website, iottechconnect.com.
Yep.
For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back from another brief commercial break with another fun-filled segment of the M-Squared TechCast.
1 minute goes by quickly, doesn't it?
Indeed.
So, all right. So we have with us today Patrick Dooley, a senior consultant with Red Level Networks, and we finally have them back on the air after a bit of a hiatus. He's going to be talking about 2008 IT trends and tips. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yeah, that's correct, Mike. Thank you.
You got to lean into the microphone a bit more there.
Oh, okay. Is that a little bit better?
That's better. Okay. Right. So, we were just talking about this earlier. Right now, IT budgets are being formulated. Especially for cloud-based services, which continue on the rise, our IT departments are hoping to jump on this bandwagon with exciting new technologies, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, hyped converged. I'm not even sure what that is. What is hyperconverged? What is that?
Hyperconverged is, there's a lot of key terms around hyperconverged infrastructure, hyperconverged, and just converged. You hear a lot of different terms, and they're all just a little bit different. You know, it's kind of taking the networking, the storage, and the compute layer and throwing it all into software and, you know, making it all one big platform to use. So you get some of the NSX features from VMware in there. And you get vSAN, and then you take the compute layer and throw that all on top of it. And now you have just blocks of certain technology that you need. So if you need a heavy storage node, then you buy a heavy storage node. If you need a compute heavy node where memory and CPU is involved, then you go through and you buy one of those. You're not really locked into anything after you get four or five of these nodes in.
Very flexible then.
Yeah, very, very flexible, block by block, storage capable, network capable, compute capable. So it goes through and it allows you to really scale these up to like 64 nodes. So you can get pretty large with them as well.
And you don't have to, you know, pay for any hardware or space or rack space or anything like that directly, right?
Oh, no, never.
Yeah, right.
No, and with that, you know, it kind of takes that into account where, you know, if you are in a colo location where normally you're a full rack or a full two racks, you might be able to condense that down to a half rack and really get some savings there as well.
So the cloud is what everybody's talking about these days.
Sounds like Bo Schembeck. They're talking about the
team. team. Yeah, right. There is no I in team.
Yeah.
No I in cloud for that matter. But so we've got the cloud and that's a trend that's not going away, right?
Yeah, no. So, you know, with the cloud, a lot of people are scared of the cloud or they don't know what the cloud is or kind of embracing what they should be doing in the cloud. And really that really depends on what your business is doing, what you can afford, and, you know, what you're not scared of trying. So, you know, a lot of people that are scared to fully invest completely in the cloud, they're doing a hybrid version where they're doing some on-premise stuff and then they're also doing some into the cloud, you know, small workloads, DR type workloads, or even, you know, just their dev environments as well.
And this is spreading down to smaller and smaller companies, right?
Yeah, as the cloud becomes more affordable, where it costs pennies on the dollar now to run things in the cloud, you're going to get a lot more of the smaller companies. A lot of the SMB market is starting to embrace, like the Azure, the AWS. And then we run our own private cloud called MyCloud. And, you know, we get a lot of our companies that are under 25 individuals or under 100 individuals in there as well.
And those companies don't typically have what is a classic CIO or CISO. They just got some guy that's in charge of it because, you know, he was good at tech in high school or college or something. So, I mean, this is really benefit the smaller companies, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because you can go through and, you know, in our case with the MyCloud, you could put what we call RedCare, and it's our help desk, and it gets you in touch with some individuals that, you know, didn't take just a semester or two in college of, you know, a computer science class randomly.
And he's the new CIO. Right. One semester. Okay. That'll get it done, you know. So
yeah. And the same thing if it's Azure, AWS, you know, we're all proficient in all these different type of cloud strategies and cloud solutions. So you're going to be in touch with somebody that can really help you out.
Okay. What about backups? This sort of takes care of that problem, right?
Yeah. So if you do Azure, you do AWS, or even MyCloud, all of those backup strategies are all part of what you're paying for month to month. So you don't have to worry about rotating tapes or rotating USB disk drives. All that's completely included, seamless to you, and you just have these recovery and restore points available to you if you ever need them.
Hey,
That's good.
Now you get to do the Yoda.
You know, I have had this happen to me before, where I won't mention the employer, but they made it way too easy to delete something permanently, you know, out of the hard drive that I needed for a project.
And Go ahead. Call them out, man.
No, it was my fault. I mean, I'm the one who did it, you know. I just wish they'd asked me one more time if I really wanted to, because I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hand spazzed and there it went, and it was still on the tape, thank God, for the prior day. So I didn't lose the whole thing. I only lost one day's work, so I wasn't, you know, that upset.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, a really good segment into, you know, another thing that we do, you know, backup as a service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it wasn't on the tape, then you could go to your offsite storage, whether it's Iron Mountain for your tape repository, or a backup as a service, whether it's Veeam, AWS, Azure, and go to an offsite type copy.
Yep.
And then you have it always.
No, I'm not going to try the Yoda voice. This is going to be you. You try the Yoda voice.
I don't do a very good Yoda. No? I don't know. Technology, adopt you must.
Oh, that's good. All right. There you go.
Said that she did.
Yep. Okay. So. Yeah, now you're on again, so you have to talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, when we're talking about some of the different IT trends, we're also talking about virtualization, automation, and getting into all these different type of, you know, more opportunities, I call them, because you start bringing in orchestration is a big buzzword right now, where that's full-on automation of cloud-type solutions. Mm. So now, you know, Benny from the IT department doesn't have to click next, finish to install SQL or do a new VM. All that could be automated by a click of the button of new VM set, and it'll go through and spin up the new VM with all the resources that you need in it, install the applications that you need, put in the firewall rules, put in the network rules, and do an A to Z completion of what you're trying to do for that particular application or even subset of VMs.
Well, just getting the patches done. We don't need no stinky patches,
no.
Right? I think Equifax said that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's really been the bugaboo for the big players is who's in charge? I mean, this
like,
is
I
really –
I thought you were going to put the patches
yeah,
in.
Yeah, right. This is not, you know, rocket science here. I mean, you get the patches installed, and that's been the vulnerabilities. They haven't been following through on that, right?
Right. So when you go through and can automate some of those tasks where they happen at midnight and, you know, Larry from the IT department doesn't have to go in and try to install patches every weekend because he wants a day off too, just like everybody else.
No, not for Larry.
Larry can't have a day
Sorry,
off.
Sorry, no day off.
So, you know, with that, if you can
Larry
automate...
has never seen his kid play soccer. Sorry, Larry. Yeah.
So, you know, with that, if you can automate some of those tasks and get some of the real mundane stuff out of the way, that just allows your IT people and allows your businesses to succeed at what they're really good at.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk a little bit about virtual reality, automation, artificial intelligence. What do you think those things are going to mean for IT systems going forward next year?
A lot of that stuff comes down to what it takes hardware-wise to really run virtualization on top of virtual reality and on top of, you know, artificial intelligence. Obviously, we've all seen the videos online and stuff of like the Boston Dynamics people making the robots flip backwards and guys hitting them over with hockey sticks and, you know, they're getting back up and freaking people out.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to a robot that could get back up.
Probably got a mean right cross or something, right?
So, you know, just like anything else, we're just now at the hardware capabilities of really being able to have processors and RAM and hard drives that can, you know, do that kind of workload. So with that, I think we're at the beginning stages of a lot of this stuff, and I hope to see it a lot more. You're going to see it in plants and other things that, you know, to take some of the mundane tasks that you see in, you know, virtualization, the cloud, IT in general, and we're going to apply that, you know, across different industries now.
As a wise Russian sage named Vladimir Putin said, whoever controls AI will control the world, right? What do you think is on his mind,
did
right?
Did he really say
so
that?
He did, yes.
Wow, okay.
Scary.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, AI, I mean, everyone's saying 2018 is going to be the year of AI. And, you know, I keep thinking of the Terminator movies, you know. When is Skynet going to go sentient on us here? You know, that's what people are really worried about. What happens when the robots get smarter than us? Are we necessary anymore?
Well, and, you know, some of those cases, no. And truthfully, that's the scary part, yeah. You know, as the artificial intelligence goes through and, you know, becomes more advanced in the programming for it and the, you know, the functions and everything that goes along with the programming for it are able to, you know, adapt and learn, that's when, you know, automation is really going to kind of kick in full force.
I actually read a story that these robots were developing their own language and talking to each other. And then, no, seriously, this was not fake news or anything. So they were talking to each other, and nobody could understand what they were saying. They were so smart. I saw this come through. Unless someone was yanking my chain, I don't know they could have been. But, you know, I just say the two things that worry me the most are security, you know, because, you know, the bad guys are getting really good at what they do. And making a whole ton of money. I mean, most of it's organized crime. Some of it's state-sponsored. And then the other one is AI. I just feel that it's a bad combination. You know, they're going to have AI security experts, and how do we defeat them, right?
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you want to put as much security around something that can, you know, potentially be smarter than you. So
this is a totally off-the-wall question. When do you think we get to the point where an AI algorithm can pass a Turing test? Where you can't tell if you're talking to a person or a program.
You know,
are we close? Are we anywhere near that?
And they'll be based in India too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're already starting to see it on some of the smartphones and things like that, where you know, Siri sounds pretty darn close to you know a woman these days. So therefore, we're probably not far off. Maybe just a few years, if not less.
I got Alexa. She sounds like I have a conversation with her in the morning, you know, so it's a little weird.
We don't want to hear about your
personal life. No, you don't want to hear the rest of it. So what's influencing technology spending then? I'm looking at one of your bullet points. Driving Miss Daisy are influencing IT technology spending. And no, I'm not going to try to do the voice there or anything. Yep. So how often should we be updating our IT infrastructure?
You know, normal refresh rates are anywhere from 3 to 5 years on a hardware scale. It can be a little longer as long as you're keeping up with the patches on a software platform. But I would say well within the same area. You know, I like to see things refreshed every 3 to 5 years. That way you're keeping up with the security of what can be and can't be processed on the hardware. And, you know, the software will only go so far before you need to update the hardware anyway. So
I love all these points. They have a Star Wars kind of theme to them. Is this your new marketing director's idea? Or is Janet, I know you're listening, Janet, did you do this? Okay. So you want to throw this next one out, Matt?
Sure. hosted services closing like the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. I guess they must do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
You guys
must
be excited about Friday when that movie comes out, right? So
yeah, we have a lot of Star Wars fans. Obviously, we're in the tech industry, and we're a lot of geeks, so we get into some of those movies from time to time.
Well, you got to meet Bob and Dave. They couldn't be any more geekier on Star
Wars.
Well,
as you can see
with
all the toys in the art around here, our hosts are extreme geeks.
So anyway, getting back to the question.
You know, a lot of people are moving to the cloud, you know, with the way that it's costing and the way that the price model is really coming down, it's really becoming consumable for everybody at this point, not just your large companies that are 10,000 seats and above. You know, you're starting to get a lot of the guys that are 500 seats and below, 250 seats and below. And like I said, even on some of our MyCloud stuff, we're finding companies that are 5 and below or even 10 and below that are really participating in it because now they don't have to buy any hardware and put that on site. They can have a firewall on their side that connects to the firewall on our side. And it's really a done deal at that point.
I think the real advantage, though, is not so much whether they buy the hardware. It's just that getting back to that expertise, particularly for SMBs. I mean, they just don't have it. And so by turning all that over to somebody that does and paying them as needed on the services, I think is a pretty good plan.
Yeah, absolutely, because it kind of wraps up the whole security as a whole, where, you know, now your antivirus, your patching, and all your firewall rules as a whole, including networking, you know, is really taken care of by someone that has expertise in the industry.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got about a minute left. Why don't you tell
shameless folks, plug time.
Yes.
Shameless plug
time. Yeah, tell folks how to reach you. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, you can get a hold of us at 248-812-8210 for our help desk, or 8200 is our main line. And you can contact us at help@redlevelnetworks.com. We do have a couple of open positions at Red Level. We do.
He answered the Matt question. He
anticipated the Matt question. Man, this guy's good.
All right. So, you know, we got a senior consultant. We're looking for a kind of an expert in Microsoft Office 365 and in Microsoft realm. We have a customer sales advocate that we're looking for some inside sales help to help our sales account executives that are kind of running around with the hair on fire.
Yeah.
And looking also for a project manager and a senior sales executive as well.
Okie dokie.
Okay, and that's redlevelnetworks.com?
That's redlevelnetworks.com.
All right. Thanks very much, Patrick Dooley from Red Level, with that wonderful update on the fun year ahead in IT. Well, Mike, we've got one more show this year. It's next week.
Yep.
And then we'll be off for 2 weeks and back January 8th.
Yep.
But I want to thank Patrick and all our guests today, Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One, Glenn Stevens from Mish Auto, and, of course, Tim Burchet. Inforum's Engage program about all the wonderful things they did this year.
October Dawn. Well, we're not supposed to share that with the world. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's
probably what her password is, too. Okay. So.
All right. Well, thanks very much to all our guests, and we'll be back next week one more time in 2017. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.